At 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The U.S. military confirms U.S. forces have conducted a new strike against Houthi rebels in Yemen. CENTCOM says a Houthi radar site was hit with Tomahawk land attack missiles tonight in an attempt to degrade the Iran-backed rebel group's ability to attack shipping vessels in the Red Sea. This comes after U.S. and coalition forces launched strikes on more than a dozen sites last night. CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv also reports.
We don't know to which degree the Houthis are being directed by Iran or whether this is going to escalate the situation here, and whether that may have a relationship to a much more pressing situation here in Israel itself, and that's Iranian-backed Hezbollah. And we've seen a lot of activity in the north. So if those two things are related, then this will be a significant escalation forward.
Snow and powerful winds have created blizzard conditions and will be followed by dangerous wind chills. It could feel anywhere from 20 to 30 below zero in some portions of the Midwest.
I'm Jen Clark in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where there is a blizzard warning for counties just north of here. It's actually the first one in the area since 2018. The plows have been out all day. They salted overnight. There's over 100 salt trucks out. They actually salted earlier last night, but they said they switched over to calcium chloride because the salt wouldn't hold up long enough for the storm. The storm is going to last throughout the night and into tomorrow. There are snow emergencies in multiple counties.
In the Detroit area tonight, they've had thunder snow. Two men are rescued after being caught in an avalanche in Idaho. Law enforcement got a GPS alert of a possible fatality in an avalanche near Stevens Peak near the Montana border. Shoshone County Sheriff Captain Seth Green.
It was called in actually by one of the spouses of the individuals that were hit by the avalanche, and they're using a variety of GPS tools to include a Garmin to communicate back and forth via text and grid location.
Two men were found during the search and rescue, but a third man is believed to be dead. The CDC says the number of children who died from the flu nearly doubled last week. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports from Dallas.
This is the first time I have known the flu to be horrible.
Mary Stein and her three-year-old son James have spent the last few nights in a Dallas hospital.
His cough got so strong and so hard. We've been here since Wednesday night, diagnosed with flu A, and then that turned into right-side pneumonia.
Coughing kids have kept Dr. Stephanie Atia with Dallas Medical City Children's Hospital busy for months.
We're seeing more flu this year than we did last year or the year before.
Michael Moore, Los Angeles police chief since 2018, says he is retiring at the end of February. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The snow is coming down hard in most of Wisconsin, and it'll be 6 to 12 inches before it's all over. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The target, the heaviest of the snow, is still tracking the same direction as the last one. Headed in towards Richland Center, Madison, Beaver Dam, the Dells, even possibly up into the Fox Valley as well.
The snow in this storm is drier than Tuesday's, and wind gusts could exceed 50 miles per hour, qualifying as a blizzard. A Dane County judge has blocked an effort from legislative Republicans to remove the state's top election administrator. The judge ruled that Megan Wolf is able to stay in her position until the State Elections Commission names a new administrator. The judge also ruled that the commission has no obligation to find a new administrator. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks blow out the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 135-102 win over the Celtics at five serve form. It got so bad for Boston, they benched all of their starters in the second half. The Bucks bouncing back after losing to the Jazz. Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. We learned from every game. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
NFL, the Packers headed tomorrow to Dallas to play the Cowboys Sunday at 3:30 in the wild card game. game. Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for a second time in a row. The last Packer to do that, receiver Don Beebe in 1996 when they won the Super Bowl. And the New England Patriots have promoted their linebackers coach, Gerard Mayo, as the new head coach, replacing Bill Belichick.
I'll always be a Patriot, but at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's Bill Belichick with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin Rapids weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, snow and blowing snow continue. A winter storm warning remains in effect. A few more inches of snowfall accumulation possible. Winds blow at around 35 to 40 out of the northwest. Temperatures plummet throughout the day on your Saturday and bitterly cold Saturday night.
Currently 26 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke. Unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. And boy, was a lot of it being made, and a lot of it's being made right now as I speak. The U.S., at Joe Biden's direction, he did exactly the right thing, ordered the bombing of targets in Yemen. This was accomplished by aircraft, missiles, submarines, and ships from the United States and the U.K. In addition, Australia, Bahrain, Canada, and the Netherlands were part of it. It was not their ships or missiles, but they supported it, and they also provided intelligence and coordination on these attacks. Germany and Denmark were also part of it, and South Korea. Here's the deal. The Houthis, their rebellion against the Yemen government has been going on for 10 years. And the Houthis are deeply dug in. They're enemies of virtually everybody in the Middle East except for Iran. They are an Iranian proxy. They've been fighting Saudi Arabia for 10 years. There have been 100,000 people killed in Yemen. Saudis have been bombing them for years. Why is Iran and why is Saudi Arabia, why are they fighting each other? Saudi Arabia is a Sunni country. Iran is a Shia country. 90% of the Muslims in the world are Sunni, about 10% are Shia, concentrated in Iran, but some in Iraq, some in Afghanistan for that matter, routinely murdered by Sunnis. This bombing by Yemen, and it isn't the Yemeni government, it's the Houthis who are allied with Iran, has been going on right now since October, but it's been going on for 10 years in the fighting with Saudi Arabia and others in the Middle East. The United Nations Security Council Resolution Number 2722 had condemned these attacks. It says, we condemn these attacks in the strongest terms. 11 members of the Security Council voted in favor of that. None of them, zero, opposed it. China, Russia, Algeria, and Mozambique abstained. But neither China nor Russia vetoed it. Remember, there's a Security Council, and at one time it would be basically the UK, France, China, Russia, and the United States. Essentially people who had nuclear weapons. Well, now there are a couple of others that have nuclear weapons, so they opened it up So the Security Council still has the core that can veto, but others who are elected on a rotating basis, and they can't veto. So that's why you have countries on there like Mozambique and Algeria. But for the Security Council to stand together on this, and even China and Russia not vetoing it, shows the severity of the problem and why Biden was exactly right in what he did. The severity of the problem is this. If you take a look at a map, the Red Sea funnels into the Suez Canal. A big percentage of the world's trade goes through the Suez Canal. Here's some statistics. 12% of the world's oil shipments go through the Suez Canal. 8% of the world's grain. 8% of liquefied natural gas, and lots of other commodities too. If you cut that out, if you permit the Yemenis and Iran to shut off the Red Sea, and by the way, Iran just seized an oil tanker in the last day and a half. If you permit that, you are saying to people, okay, avoid the Suez Canal, avoid the Red Sea. But then if they're shipping from the Far East, they have to go down around Africa and come up. It adds between 4,000 and 5,000 miles. It adds 10 to 20 days of sea time. I spent time in the Navy, a fair amount. And I've been at sea the longest because, you know, we had access to NATO ports in the Mediterranean. But if you're at sea for 3 or 4 weeks, that's a long time. But if you're at sea for months, actually underway, in other words, not going into port for supplies or recreation or R&R, that's a real long time. And it adds a lot of costs, about 20 to 25% of the cost to ship oil, grain, liquefied natural gas, and other things. But what do you do? Iran is behind this. If we were to bomb Iran, if we were to eliminate Iran, none of this would happen. Hezbollah wouldn't have a backer. Hamas wouldn't have a backer. The Houthis in Yemen wouldn't have a backer. But to bomb Iran, it's not saying that it would never happen. It would happen if they hit one of our naval ships and killed our sailors. But if you do that, you're essentially signaling the start of a war. And you do not want to unleash the dogs of war. You do not want the fog of war. You can't control it. I don't care how powerful you are. You can't anticipate. You can't anticipate all the horrible things that could happen. But what do you do in the meantime if you have proxies like the Houthis simply lobbing missiles, drones, at commercial shipping and driving them down around Africa to avoid it? What do you do? What happened this time, the straw that broke the camel's back, is on January 9, the Houthis unleashed about 24 drones and missiles against ships in the Red Sea. And some of them, they say that they weren't directed at the U.S. Navy, but they were real close to the U.S. Navy. And I got news for you. If you're on a ship and a drone or a missile comes close, you fire back. It's as simple as that. You fire back. Now, what is happening politically about all this? The U.S. deliberately did this at night, and the U.K., they targeted radar, air defense systems, storage facilities, and launch sites for cruise and ballistic missiles of the Houthis. And they did it, as I say, at night because they want to reduce civilian casualties. The Houthis say, well, they won't be deterred, but they haven't responded as far as we've gone onto the air. There's some Democrats, the squad, basically, predictable, Jamila Priyapal, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Cori Bush, and a number of the others, immediately attacked Biden for this and said it should have been done with congressional approval. And even moderate progressives, and I'll say moderate, meaning not the anti-Semitic progressives, even the moderate progressives went cluck, cluck, maybe Biden should have run this through Congress. The Republicans who know better, Mike Lee, he's a terrible senator from Utah. Mike Lee said, it's too little too late. Rick Scott of Florida said, well, it's too, you know, it should have been done a long time ago. You can always argue about timing, but the drone attacks and the missile attacks on the 9th of January, 3 days ago, were the straw that broke the camel's back. But let me address the issue of congressional approval. You have rules in the Congress, in the Senate, of unanimous consent and filibuster. In the House, you have the Freedom Caucus, the so-called MAGA caucus, shutting down rules votes, which are the procedural prerequisite to put something on the floor. Do you really think that this Congress is capable of quickly coming to an approval or a conclusion or a denial of the right to attack the Houthis when they are sending drones and they're sending missiles in the direction of our ships? You had Tommy Tuberville, a treacherous dog whom I do not want to see up here next July in Milwaukee. Treacherous dog held up appointments of our officer corps, including our Navy and our Air Force, Marines, and soldiers, for 10 months. The Republicans were complicit, treacherous. They wouldn't put up 9 votes to bust the filibuster. Right now, Rand Paul, Tuberville, and a few others are blocking all civilian appointments to the Defense Department and the NSA, which are essential to coordinate and protect our troops and give valuable information to our flag officers. I don't trust the Congress to do a damn thing. Then in the Democratic Party, you'll have the squad that'll vote no. Then in the Republican Party, you'll have people complicit with the Tubervilles and the Rand Pauls. In 1788, when George Washington became president and there was a constitution in place, the idea of the war powers in Congress made sense. Traditionally, through the Middle Ages up to the 18th century, you know, it was people running in with swords. The 18th century, then suddenly they had muskets, and it took a minute. You shoot a ball, and then you have to kneel down and put another ball in the barrel, and it was a big deal. You didn't have to make instantaneous decisions. Now, in the age of nuclear weapons, you're going to go what? We have to have the permission of Tommy Tuberville, and can't get 9 Republicans to defend the United States. We can't get the squad to agree to defend the United States. What? No, the point is that every president in the modern era has to respond to an attack on the United States, has to preemptively wipe out terrorism, has to do it. Congress is perfectly capable, if they want to, right now, of passing a law that says we can't attack the Houthis. Go ahead, guys. Go ahead, Tuberville dog that you are. Try that preemptively. Rand Paul. MAGA caucus. Okay, coming up, I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I will get to you right away. Coming up, some very good news on Ukraine. 2 countries have now provided substantial additional funding, and I'll talk about the U.S. commitment coming right up. Do not hang up. I see you on the lines.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication. Or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. John of Boaz in Richland County. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Were you ever thrown out of a hammock in a storm? Well, my dad told me all about that in his Navy career, and that's when they set up and dropped the A-bomb, you know, in that. But did you know, did they tell you that all of the sailors in the Indianapolis that took the bomb parts there, they never made it back, Matt? Did you hear that story?
Yeah, John, let me jump in. That's a very, very interesting story, so everybody knows. The USS Indianapolis was a cruiser, and it was charged with bringing the A-bomb to the Pacific Island, where it was then activated and then flown over and bombed Hiroshima and afterwards Nagasaki. On the way back, and history could have been changed for the worse if this had happened on the way, and this is a very sad story, but on the way back, the Indianapolis was sunk by Japanese submarines, and it went down, and this is a crew with many, many hundreds of sailors, and most of them died, drowned, or were blown up. But the very sad thing is a number of them had life jackets, the ones that survived, even if they were burned, and they floated in the Pacific Ocean, but there were sharks around them, and occasionally a shark had come under one of them, grab him by the legs, and you'd hear a scream, and down he went. Those sailors were the bravest people you can imagine. But so were our Marines. So were our Rangers and Army, who invaded Normandy, Utah Beach, the other beach. I'll tell you, Omaha Beach. All of those people had immeasurable courage. And if that the Indianapolis had been sunk on the way to assemble the bomb, and we didn't have the atomic bombs, the Japanese would have fought to the death. It would have cost millions of Japanese lives and hundreds of thousands of American lives, the GIs. So that is a little wrinkle in history by some very, very brave sailors. Thanks for calling, John. Okay, Ukraine. We haven't talked about it in a while. There's so much else going on. Very welcome. The UK, Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, went to Kyiv just now. Promised another $3.2 billion in fresh funding, munitions, artillery, drones for Zelensky to fight the Ruskies. Latvia. Now remember, when you hear Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, these are the Baltic nations. These are the ones that the Ruskies had occupied for a long time and ravaged, plundered. Latvia has a lot of skin in this game, and they have come forward with more aid, more artillery, more ammunition, more munitions. That leaves the United States. Now, remember something. Vladimir Putin is a sadist. This is not a war. This is a genocide, an invasion of a European country. He's brought the Chechens in that were under Moscow's control. They get to rape European women. Russian soldiers are doing it, torturing them, kidnapping their kids. And he sits there like a spider, and he has so far not been crushed. Zelensky is magnificent. Right now, the Republican Party is the impediment to supporting Ukraine. The Republican Party that wouldn't promote our military officers for 10 months. Republican Party that is bringing our government close to another shutdown where our sailors and soldiers and Marines and airmen won't be paid. Right in the middle of wars, the Republican Party is a source of treason in this company, in this country. Now, all Republicans? No. Republican voters? No. Adam Kinzinger? No. Liz Cheney? No. But the rest of them, every senator who won't break a filibuster to pay our troops, won't break a filibuster to promote our troops, won't break any filibuster or even vote to give aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, without preconditions, poison pills. Fine. We need immigration reform. But every time Biden proposes immigration reform, some very, very, very serious steps, they always say, just a little more, un poquito más, just a little more, un poquito más. That's what they do. They're not Americans. The people that are against our soldiers and our military in a time of war, they're not Americans. They're not voting American. Some of them would, but then why don't they bust the rules? Why don't they bust unanimous consent? Why don't they bust the filibuster on the Republican side? The clowns in the MAGA caucus, the far right in the House, Freedom Caucus. Why don't they bust the idea of vacating the chair and threatening the chair? Why don't they shut up? Why don't they just vote, do the rules vote to let stuff go to the floor? Or, even better, why do you have a rules vote? It reminds me of the debt. You vote for money, you borrow it, and then you have to vote again on whether you're going to pay the bill. You kidding me? You kidding me? And the same thing in the House. Okay, you oppose a bill. Fine. You oppose even the right of it to be voted on by everybody when it had 300 votes. That's what you're talking about. That's what you're talking about. The Republican Party is a clear and present danger to the United States. Not everyone, not the voters. Voters are Americans. They're veterans and non-veterans, men and women. They're all over the country. They make up their minds. I understand that. But you must understand something. When a party won't promote our military in the time of two hot wars, and a party won't promote to this day ambassadors and Defense Department officials at all, and now Biden is trying to unravel the mess in Niger. It's an African country. Niger had a president who is friendly to the West. There was an Islamic revolution pending. We had it under control. Rand Paul, all by himself, said, unanimous consent, I don't think we should have an ambassador in Niger. As a result, there was an Islamic revolution. They killed people. They threw out the other government. Now they're pro-Russia. You have to understand something. These Islamic revolutions are all pro-Russia. You do understand that. They also go in murdering Christians. And now Biden is trying to work with the new government to try to adjust things there so that they back away from Russia and they stop murdering Christians. Seems like a good idea. Rand Paul, do you think that's a good idea? Do you give a damn? How do you get elected in Kentucky, you idiot? You moron, how do you get it? You're going to come to Milwaukee and sit in our restaurants next July when you've done this in the United States? This is what's going on. You have to understand that. So in Ukraine, you have a genocidal sadist Putin who kidnaps Ukrainian kids, as he says, to beat the Ukrainian out of them, makes them sing patriotic Russian songs and how bad Ukraine is. The light goes out in their eyes. That's what's happening. We need that aid package to go along with Latvia and the UK. It's as simple as that. Simple as that. Coming up, are we going to avoid a default on January 19? A lot of news, a lot of weather, and you'll get the answer very quickly. Stops my mind from wondering where it will go. Where it will go. I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. struck another Houthi radar site in Yemen. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby says they were warned.
We issued what can only be understood as a final warning to the Houthis. They violated that, obviously, in this attack on Tuesday, and so it led to these strikes.
Temps are dropping big time across the country, a big problem for those living on the streets like this man in Seattle.
This cold, temperature drops is no joke, and you can wind up dead.
Many churches are opening their doors as emergency shelters and warming centers. CBS medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder tells us while COVID is on the rise.
The good news is we don't seem to see a big increase in hospitalizations at this stage. However, we are still seeing deaths from COVID, and over 90% of those deaths are occurring among the elderly. This is why it's especially important in that group to keep up with your yearly COVID shots.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Keeping the power on is one of the biggest challenges in a big winter storm. 23,000 homes and businesses in Wisconsin lost their electricity at one point Friday morning. The hardest hit area was Milwaukee County. Wisconsin lawmakers will likely take up tax cuts again. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says it would be hard to cut taxes without also cutting public services. Democrats say they'll prioritize working families.
People do want to have the services that are going to allow them and their families to live a good life in their communities. And they also want to feel like their tax burden is fair, right? And they see the benefit of that. So we try to balance all of those things.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Wisconsin Rapids weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, snow and blowing snow continue. A winter storm warning remains in effect. A few more inches of snowfall accumulation possible. Winds blow at around 35 to 40 out of the northwest. Temperatures plummet throughout the day on your Saturday and bitterly cold Saturday night.
Currently 26 degrees.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we're coming up on fisher cut bait time, coming up on a deadline. The continuing resolution that had been passed when Mike Johnson first became speaker sets January 20 for the expiration of about 20% of the funding needed to fund the government. The other 80% will expire on February 2nd. January 19 is a week from today. It's a week from today. Congress thought, well, you know, what the heck, and they left town. They vamoosed. And when Congress leaves town, some of them go to California. Some go to Alaska. Some go to Arizona. They go all over the place. And they don't do anything. They schmooze at among the locals. They campaign. They're going to come back on Tuesday. Then they'll have 3 days before 20% of the government shuts down. 3 days. And the Republicans are the ones that are holding this up. Now, there appeared to be a solution. There may still be a solution, but I want to give you the nitty-gritty details of it and then my take on it. Last Sunday, Mike Johnson announced that he and Chuck Schumer obviously is the Senate majority leader, controls the Senate. Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House, controls the House. Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader of the House, provides 213 Democratic votes if he wants. And they all announced that they had reached a deal. $1.66 trillion in spending for next year. Doesn't take into account inflation. Another $69 billion on the side for some social programs that were savagely cut. Most people would agree in both parties that they were savagely cut. And that would continue through the end of this coming fiscal year before the seating of the next Congress. What happened was the Freedom Caucus has people in it who hate the United States. You know, no, it's not just a matter that they hate Democrats. They hate the United States. They hate our military. They hate what we do. They're full of hate. And they roughed up Johnson. They met with him. And Johnson's a slick character. Y'all want to meet with you. And I think it was about 20 of them, maybe even more than 20. Bob Good of Virginia, who's one of the worst, said the Republican, quote, this is a quote from Bob Good of Virginia, Republican, quote, the GOP should not be afraid of instigating a partial government shutdown in the middle of two hot wars, and now in the Red Sea, leading into the Suez Canal against the Houthis, three hot wars, Ukraine, the Gaza sadists who attacked Israel and attacked 12 and 13-year-old girls, Israel defending itself, Hezbollah coming down from Lebanon, backed by Iran, more than three wars, and they don't want to pay our sailors. They don't want to pay our Marines. They don't want to pay our army. But anybody out there have a kid or a brother or a father or a friend in the military? And you're thinking of voting Republican? Well, here's what's going to happen. See you in the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you very shortly. After he met with this caucus, they all agreed that they weren't going to declare the chair vacant. Largely because they got no one else. They can't agree on anything. What they're doing is costing us billions of dollars in unnecessary interest because the federal government had its credit rating lowered, which means we have to pay more interest on the debt. And it's sending a message to the Houthis, to the Iranians, to the Chinese, to the Ruskies, all of them, that we are divided. And these are people, many of them never served in the military, would have tried to sneak out of it if they had been drafted because they love Trump and he is he's the example of doing that. Right now, there is a proposal in the Senate to draft another continuing resolution for another 2 months. Our credit rating will go further down. We'll pay more interest, unnecessary interest, just so we can pay our troops. These treacherous clowns on the Republican side are doing this to us. To his credit, or you think it's to his credit, Mike Johnson is saying, well, I'm going to still stick to my deal. We'll see. And I will tell you as soon as I take a call right now why I don't trust him on that. Adrian of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Adrian. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Yeah, you're right that the Republicans waste billions of dollars by taking actions that drive up the interest rate we have to pay for the debt service on the national debt. Another part of it is that the Republicans, as you know, are always pushing to reduce the number of IRS employees that conduct audits and make sure that rich people are paying the taxes they're supposed to pay. So I just don't understand how anyone can take these Republican budget talks seriously when they're doing things all the time that worsen our budget situation.
That's an excellent call, and you're right. Adrian has just noted one other thing. By this continual brinksmanship, because you know we're going to fund the government, but threatening not to pay our Army and our sailors when they're involved in hot wars, the Marines and airmen, is not just treason, but what it does is it lowers our rating and the interest on the national debt. We have bonds out there, treasuries. Many of you have them, whether you know it or not, in your IRA, your 403B, your 401K pension plans. Many of you. So instead of only paying 1 or 2%, we have to pay 4 or 5%. That comes out of tax money. It's useless. The Republican Party does not care about saving money. Can't be trusted with money. They are costing us billions. They're not saving billions. But the second thing that Adrian noted, one of the preconditions, one of their initial preconditions was money to hire IRS agents, especially forensic lawyers and accountants, to penetrate these tax shelters and get people to pay their taxes. They wanted that eliminated. Why do they want that eliminated? What do they care? They lied and they said it was because it was directed at low-income people. That's false. The government incidence of auditing people of low or modest incomes is virtually nil. It's at Goldman Sachs, the IRS keeps an agent in-house at all times. He has an office because they know they'll cheat him. They'll know they'll screw around. And they'll know that they'll take questionable deductions. So he keeps an eye on things. You can't put an IRS agent in every corporation in this country. Remember something. In 2016, Donald Trump paid $750 in federal taxes. $750. In the previous 15 years, he paid zero in federal taxes. He took all sorts of manipulated things around his real estate. The Republicans don't want that penetrated. They don't want people with the highest incomes to have to pay income taxes. That's why they agreed that hedge fund managers don't pay income taxes. I don't know if you knew that. These hedge fund taxes, for instance, a guy like Jared Kushner, gets $2 billion from the Saudis, and he calls it a hedge fund. He's not going to pay income taxes. Why is that? Because they had the word income changed by Congress, believe it or not, to be called carried interest. So he says, yeah, I made this money. It's carried interest. I only have to pay 15%. If I had to pay income tax, it would be 39%. How do they get away with that? Were you paying attention? How many people were paying attention? The way they got away with it, they said, well, lumber interests, like companies that plant trees and then harvest them for paper, and oil companies, pay their quote income end quote is called carried interest. Okay, that's because you plant a million trees, they got to grow. It takes a long time for them to grow. And then when they grow, sometimes there are blights and everything. There's risk. There's risk. So the sweetener that the Congress said was, okay, then your, quote, income is actually carried interest. You're going to pay capital gains. You pay 15, 20%, whatever it is now. Oil companies, they said, well, we drill 50 holes. 49 of them are dry holes. That costs a lot of money. The 50th hole is a gusher. So we want that risk to be acknowledged, and we're going to call that income carried interest and only pay half, pay capital gains. I personally, with the oil companies, think that because they also get massive subsidies, that should be discontinued. But let's put that aside. They do take some risk. The hedge fund managers who sit in New York, I'm not kidding, and they get this money, they take no risk whatsoever. It's not like trees, it's not like oil, there are no dry holes. They have it out there, and they basically, it's a casino. They're playing poker. They get 2%, the average I would say is 2%, of everything under management, whether they do a good or bad job. So Jared Kushner, 2% of $2 billion from Chainsaw Charlie, the Mohammed guy, Prince Mohammed, Chainsaw Charlie, the Khashoggi, took a chainsaw to him. And some people say it was before he actually died and was unconscious, if you can imagine that. Chainsaw Charlie gives him $2 billion to basically bribe Trump. He gets $40 million a year through nothing. He could sit around and yawn. He could put it in an index fund. If he beats the S&P 500, typically they get another 1.5%. And they claim, well, we took risk. What risk? Well, yeah, the stocks could have gone down. Yeah, they could have. So could every investor. You try that sometime. The next time your stock portfolio goes down, say it's carried interest. I don't think that's going to work. But no, nobody said to the Jared Kushner types, yeah, but you get 2% off the top. So where is your risk? This is a scam. And then what happened was they don't pay income tax. The Republican Party will protect its donors no matter what. They want them to steal money through tax fraud. It's basically tax fraud. When you claim you're taking risk and you're not, and the Republican Party ratifies that in the Congress, that's fraudulent to me. You know, you technically are not committing fraud because you got the law changed. But that was a fraudulent thing for the Republican Party to do. Now they don't want Biden to hire more tax agents. You can't just hire any old tax agent. You need forensic accountants, lawyers who penetrate this stuff. There's some insurance scams where you buy a few policies and you do this and that and suddenly take massive deductions against your income. There's a lot of stuff like that that the average person isn't going to understand unless you spend a lot of time studying tax law. Biden and the Democrats, maybe a handful of Republicans, say we should have that investigated under control. So what Adrian is pointing out is that that is not going to be investigated under control because the Republicans want that funding out. In the deal that Biden and McCarthy made, he did cut out, Biden had to, about $6 billion towards that kind of enforcement. But it still leaves most of the enforcement. The sad thing is that the 80 or so billion that Biden has for strengthening the IRS would produce hundreds of billion dollars in withheld crooked taxes. In other words, it paid for itself in spades. Okay, coming up, a couple of senators have begged the Senate and the House to take the deal because they know what's going to happen if Trump by accident gets elected. Coming up. No such song. We had a quarrel. Our lovers spat.
All right. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
R for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, in this dust-up, where it looks like we're heading to a partial shutdown next Friday because of the right-wingers in Congress who won't let it get to the floor, Mitch McConnell, I used to call him Moscow Mitch. He is sort of Moscow Mitch. There are people, I think they're Russian oligarchs who contribute to funds, to PACs that he controls. They're technically American citizens. It's easy for a rich person to become an American citizen. You can easily become a citizen in the UK, for instance, or Canada, simply by investing a certain amount of money. And there's something like that in the United States. You get a green card for investing a certain amount of money. Then you lie in the weeds and become a citizen. If you're a UK citizen or a Canadian citizen, it's even easier to become a citizen of the United States. And then they come over here. They don't even live here. They lie in the weeds and they contribute to the Republican Party. He's not exactly Moscow Mitch other than the money, because he did go to Kyiv and he stands tall against Putin and for Ukraine. So I want to acknowledge that. There's a guy named James Langford from Oklahoma who apparently, astonishingly, is not a right-wing nut. I would have said a guy from Oklahoma is a right-wing nut. Well, that's not necessarily true. I must have been thinking of Mike Lee. He's from Utah. In any event, Langford is the guy that the Republicans have designated to negotiate with Chris Murphy and other Democrats on the border security provisions that the Republicans are requiring to release aid to Ukraine and Israel. And Mitch McConnell and James Langford have just put out a plea to their Republican colleagues in the House and the Senate. Quote, take the deal on border security, release the aid to Ukraine and Israel, and take what the Democrats are offering, which is pretty substantial. It's very, very substantial. I'll tell you what some of the hangups are. Very substantial. But then they said to their people in a closed caucus, which of course leaked out, if Donald Trump, God forbid, gets reelected to the presidency, there will be no deal. Because Donald Trump will shoot his mouth off and require things that nobody could agree to, including most Republicans, and the deal goes away. So for God's sake, take the deal now. That's just come out of Moscow Mitch and James Langford. Now here's what's holding it up. The Republican Party has linked Ukraine aid and Israel aid to border security. And I personally think we need better border security. I personally think you can't continue to just release people into our population, tell them to come back for a court hearing, and they never come back. And then they become dreamers. You can't continue to do that in a modern country. The hang-up appears to be this. There's a thing called humanitarian parole. What's humanitarian parole? people come into this country and they truly are afraid of going back to where they came from. And so for humanitarian reasons, the president can say they have humanitarian parole for 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever. Biden used that for Ukrainian refugees. And I think, yeah, he was exactly right. A lot of these Ukrainian refugees, if they go back to some of these areas, are going to get murdered and tortured by Russians. Now, you can say that able-bodied men between the ages of 18 and 60 over there are forbidden to leave the country. They have to go into the military. And I support that 100%. They're fighting for their lives. But they're women with children. They're very old men. They're young kids. And what happened was that Biden gave them humanitarian parole. They contribute immeasurably to our country, to our culture. They commit, they contribute immeasurably. They're hard workers, and they blend in very, very nicely. He also gave humanitarian parole to a number of people from Afghanistan. Now, there were people from Afghanistan who are our allies. There were people who were interpreters. There were people who fought with us. In other words, on our side. They did not want the Taliban. They're Muslims, but they don't want that kind of extreme stuff. I think it's absolutely correct to give humanitarian parole to anybody who actually supported us. But hundreds of thousands of people have tried to come in on that. And if you remember the TV on it, you know, the airplanes would be going down the runway and there'd be a gajillion people swarming around them. And then 13 of our Marines got killed in a suicide bombing. And you have to be certain of who you're letting in my view. So I think that with regard to Afghan humanitarian parole, it has to be absolutely ironclad, reserved only for people who demonstrably were our interpreters, fought on our side, and are not going to blow things up in this country. That's my view. I think that right now, James Lankford said that that's the issue that's holding this whole thing up. I cannot believe, and by the way, Joe Biden has gotten much more involved in this. Joe's very smart, Joe's very experienced, and he is perfectly capable of crafting a humanitarian parole with exceptions, humanitarian parole with kind of checks and balances. In other words, he can't just say, all right, these 2 million people can come in and blah, 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 and maybe most of them don't deserve to come in. That's what's holding it up. Now, what do we do with that? The 19th is next Friday. These people are so lazy, they're not even coming back till Tuesday. Then they'll come in about middle of the morning, yawning, burping, having coffee, a Danish, you know, picking their nose, and then, you know, contemplating their navels, and then they might get around to it Tuesday afternoon. That gives 48 hours to do the final drafting, and they have a lot of drafting trolls and know how to do it, and then get it voted on. So it's going to require a continuing resolution. Johnson's going to have to do the same thing that he did before, continuing resolution. Our credit rating will go further down. We'll pay more interest because of what these idiots are doing. Absolutely, we need better border controls. Biden's offering it. Quit fooling around. Okay, we're going briefly to more news and weather. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. You've called right before we go into news and weather. And also coming up, new evidence that Trump intended violence to stay in office. You have not heard this evidence before. Coming up, I'll get back to you on the lines. Don't care.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour.